Hi, everyone, and welcome to our brand new set. We appreciated the feedback from all of you. You like it as much as we do. It is a soggy time throughout the Chiefs kingdom on this Thursday, but everything's dry and the Chiefs working out as we speak inside. Mitch Holtis with you, the voice of the Chiefs and a 15-year-long snapper, the best to ever play his position in the league, a Pro Bowler, and we're going to get right in your wheelhouse, Kendall Gammon, because we're going to talk special teams. 2 weeks ago, we broke down the offense, took a good close look at him. Last week, the defense. Now it's time to talk special teams with coordinator Dave Tobe and looking at this team up close. Special teams. It was the least stated problem to me in last year's season. If you look at 2012 in special teams, it is alarming at the level of performance from the Kansas City Chiefs. These are the numbers. The numbers do not lie.
You know, they don't, and it's so huge. And you look at some of the things last year, people are happy with Ryan Succop and how he did, but he missed a few kicks that you'd like to get there. You look at Dustin Colquitt and what he did. The fact is 45 punts inside the 20, fabulous things, yet you had a couple kicks come back. So there's some room to get better and grow, and certainly with new special teams coordinator Dave Tobe coming over from the Chicago Bears, it's an exciting time for the Chiefs era. Special teams, Mitch, is something that has to click each and every week, because if it doesn't, you've got issues. I've been preaching it all offseason, the fact that special teams has to be on it each and every week. As a player, you've got to take it as a badge of courage to play on special teams, because it's important, because you've got to perform each week, like I said. Offensively and defensively, you're not always going to be on it, but you've got to be able to depend on special teams. Field position, field position, field position.
Let's micro this down, though, a little bit, because last year, Dustin Colquitt, we talked about it all throughout the year, had a record-setting year in many ways. His punts inside the 10 were crazy good. Yep. Amazing what he did. The NFL keeps inside the 20. If they kept inside the 10, they were numbers you couldn't ignore. However, people forget, right, two punt returns for touchdowns against this team. If you go back, Buffalo returns one for 88 yards in the second week of the season. You go back, and then Benjamin comes back 93 yards on a punt return, not a right kickoff return. If Kevin Brebner could put the numbers back up here, I'm going to have you explain. First of all, the opponent was explosive scoring in special teams, but what does a net punt return average do to the field?
Well, you're huge. When you talk about your return average of 8.9 yards by the Chiefs, but the opponent return average 13.4, that's basically 4.5 yards difference. So for every two punts, is in terms of if the Chiefs have a punt and the opponents have a punt, you're almost exchanging a first down, 10 yards. Well, if you have 4 to 6 punts in the first half alone, that's 20 to 30 yards. That's huge. That makes all the difference in the world. It's the hidden yardage that I think fans don't always see, but it's something they need to look at because it makes a world of difference.
And if 100 yards equals 7 points, then all of a sudden
there you go.
Can see how it affects it. The other thing was on kickoffs and place kicks, field goals. From the kickoff return standpoint, the numbers were again the same way. You could see how this added up on the Chiefs. Plus, a 77-yard return against the Chiefs, no touchdown,
right,
but still a 77-yard return. Now I'm going to throw in Ryan Succop here too. Love him. Love him like a son. Right. However, and he was great in this game against New Orleans. He wins this game and wins the buzzer beater, basically, to win the game in overtime. But there were 6 missed field goals, 1 from 20 to 29. He knows all this. 3 from 30 to 39, and 2 from the 40-yard range. This year, those have got to be nails. They've got to be through the uprights.
Well, you're right. And speaking with Coach Tobe, he talked about it. Kevin O'Day is his kicking coach. He's working with Ryan Succop on a daily basis. Ryan's talked about it in terms of how much he enjoys working with them and is really making some progress. I think the fact that you don't have a kicker coming into camp with the Chiefs this year tells you how much confidence they have in a Ryan Succop. But that being said, you know, I go back to my years with the Kansas City Chiefs. I had some of my contract guaranteed my 15th year. So I was going to be on the team. Yet I make a couple snaps in practice, no less, that I'm not really happy with. And as a professional, I'm stressing because I know it doesn't matter if you're the only person in camp or not. You know, the eye in the sky don't lie, and it's everywhere. So they're looking at every kicker, every position in the NFL, kicker included. So you always want to be doing the right thing. Now, in listening to Ryan Succop, and it was around him just a couple nights ago, just a great guy, a positive attitude. I think he feels like he's making some progress. And the fact is, he's no slouch. He's doing some good things, but you're right. You do have to make those gimmies. Everything inside of 30 has to be made. Really, you'd like to say that, you know, 90, 95% inside 45 yards go in. That's pushing it a little bit, but he's got that ability.
Again, if there's an improvement by just three field goals, if there's an improvement where you take the advantage in punt return average, if you take the advantage in kickoff return average, what can that equal win-wise to improve?
You know, I'm going to tell you, right, Mitch, right now, I think 2 to 4 wins can be affected directly through special teams, the plays you make, and how you handle the game. And, again, it goes back to field position, making the field goals. Now, you know, you talked about it in the New Orleans game in terms of how he won that game. Well, let's not forget Dustin Colquitt and what he did in terms of pinning him back there. And he did it all year, folks. And he'll continue to do it because he is a special player. A teammate of mine, I've never seen a punter like him. And I played a long time and with some pretty good punters. So it does make a huge difference. 2 to 4 games can be affected directly by the special teams.
In that New Orleans game, he pinned the Saints back. Breeze gets tackled for a safety. In the overtime, he flips the field, pins him back, leads to the game-winning field goal. Now, the other huge factor here, and you and I believe in this guy, because he has been one of the best special teams coaches in the National Football League over the past several years in Chicago. Devin Hester, go down the line. Dave Tope. This guy knows the Chiefs Kingdom. He spent a lot of time at Missouri. He is happy to be reunited with Andy Reid as the head coach of this football team. Dave Tope, what does he think of his punter, Dustin Colquitt, and of his place kicker, Ryan Succop, and where the team is right now in that category?
Key guys. I mean, both of them are doing a great job for us. And Dustin is, I'm not sure I ever had a punter like him as far as, you know, being the ball, the way the ball flies off his foot is just amazing. You know, he's a bomber. I mean, he can flip the field for you, and he's definitely, you know, a guy that we're happy to have. And Ryan's doing a good job as far as, you know, spending a lot of time with Kevin O'Day, my assistant, who is my kicking coach, so to speak. And he's really buying into what we're trying to get done out there.
Mitch, I was lucky enough just a couple of days ago to talk with Dave Tope, and he said those very same things to me. The one that stands out to me, and I talked about a little bit earlier, is Dustin Colquitt. And Thunderleg. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy is special in terms of how he kicks the ball. I couldn't believe it when he came in as a rookie and how he does things, how he hangs the ball up there, these 5-5-3 hang times. He does just a nice job of bombing it, and he can still directional kick. That's so, so big in the NFL when you can directional and you can throw it up there and give your guys time enough to get down there and cover.
And we saw Coach Tope right here working on the field during the OTAs, and next week, of course, the mandatory minicamp. It'll just get ramped up even more next week for this football team in special teams. Now, kick return. Mm-hmm. Last year, Kansas City's longest kick return was 41 yards. Again, I mentioned they gave up a 77-yarder, no touchdown. But one interesting element to the spring, we'll see how it segues into the summer and into St. Joe, is Nile Davis. We talked about him being very important as a draft pick out of Arkansas, and can he be that complement to Jamaal Charles at the running back position? What can he do in the kick return game? Because Dave Tope wants to be explosive in kick returns.
Totally different feel. I mean, it's, you know, he's got the ball in his hand like running back, but still it's a lot different. It's about closing the distance, getting north and south, you know, real quick. And, you know, there's a lot of collisions out there that's, you know, you got guys running 10, 15 yards full speed at you, and, you know, it's a lot different than it is at running back. So, you know, there'll be a learning period, curve for him. Really, when the live bullets start coming, that's when he's going to improve, and we'll find out what we got.
Listen, he's 227 pounds. He's 4'3"7". That does get your attention not only in scrimmage downs, but if he can become a kick returner, it's a Tamarik Vanover-looking guy when Vanover was ruling the roost here in the mid-90s.
No question about it. Certainly, as a running back, you would think that's a guy that can make a difference. You talked about that speed. That's world-class speed. That's something you like. Now, he's not done it before or not done it a lot, so he's got to get used to some things. But as you see, this is a guy right there that can flat get out and haul. And I like the idea, but he's got to get those reps. He's got to go on live bullets on an NFL field with NFL people and see how he deals with things. Has some ball control issues in the past in terms of hanging on to it, so they've got to make an emphasis on that, because obviously the one thing you cannot do in special teams is turn the ball over. But I'm going to tell you right now, I like the experiment. Let's see how this works out, because as your second or third running back, you'd like to have that guy returning kicks.
Punt returns. Again, on kick and punt returns, one of the more understated facts of those great Chiefs offensive teams of the early 2000s was the field position they gained. Doesn't have to be returns for touchdowns, which Dante Hall did, but he created field position advantages week after week after week for the Chiefs. In the punt return game, the film that flies off the screen, the tape, is the 94-yard all-time Chiefs punt return for a touchdown by Dexter McCluster. What does Dave Tope think of McCluster and Devin Wiley, who's behind him as number two in punt returns?
Punt returns, right now it's Dexter. You know, Dexter's looking good. You know, he's doing a good job catching. You know, he hasn't been catching that much, you know, as far as catching punts the last 2 years. So we're kind of dusting him off in that area, and he has all the skills that you'd like to see as a punt returner.
Anything out of Wiley, you see?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, he's running number two right now. He needs to do a little bit better job catching, you know, catching every ball. I mean, punt returner is such a high-stress position, and you got to have a lot of confidence back there as a catcher, and you get that through practice, and that's what we're working towards.
Well, certainly there's no question about it that Dexter McCluster has all the tools to be a great punt returner. I liken him to Dante Hall in terms of his shiftiness. Actually, and Dante, I know you're watching, so don't get him on me on this one, but I see Dexter as a little bit more physical. A person who can maybe withstand some more some tackles and just do a little bit more. But the fact is, in talking with Coach Tobe a couple days ago also, Mitch, he talked about the return game and the punt game in general is such a confidence thing. As a returner, you have to have confidence in the guys in front of you that they're going to make their blocks and you're going to get the space to go and do what you want to do. And when you do that, and what he did, he referenced his time in Chicago in terms of they knew that the guys were going to get their guys and give the returner the chance to go after it. As a returner, when you can run freely like that, that makes a huge difference. It helps you in every aspect of the game in terms of getting up the field, getting around. It's huge. I keep going back to it, but it is. It's field position. It's field position.
And it could mean 2 to 4 games. The guru has told you this could be a season flipper for Kansas City to be vastly improved in special teams. Now let's get an update on Alex Smith. You and I were both with him. It was an awesome evening. Derek Johnson had a celebrity waiter event at Sullivan's in Leawood here in town. Let's talk about Alex Smith here a little bit. His stature is growing inside the locker room, and you and I could pick it up even outside of the locker room the other night. These guys are listening to Alex. He's very serious. He's into the OTAs. What about Alex Smith, his leadership role, and how it just continues to grow day by day as the Chiefs quarterback?
I think it's interesting, Mitch, when you talk to a lot of different guys on the team, the one thing they talk about him is how he's picked the system up, how fluid he is with everything, because when you're in the NFL huddle, the guy who's speaking is the QB. And when he can rattle off the plays and get into things and make sure the positions are straight and everybody's where they need to be, that's huge. Again, it goes. I talked about confidence in the return game. Confidence in the offense and your QB, when you know that he has a full grasp of what's going on, I'm going to tell you right now, he can make all the throws. He can do the little things you need to go. And when you look at this offense this year, I think you would agree. The one thing that's going to – the trust that's going to be put on him to make the right decisions, one, and then get the ball out on time and get it in a spot to where the receivers can catch the ball and run with it, that's huge in this offense, I think.
Alex is not waiting for training camp to kick it into high gear. He knows every day of these OTAs are important as it leads into training camp. Alex Smith had a chance to talk to the Chiefs Kingdom and echo that thought.
Junior Hemingway kind of emerging in this OTA week-ish stuff.
I think he's doing a great job, you know. Had a little window here where he's getting more opportunities because Dex is, you know, has been out here the last couple days, so he's gotten a lot of work, you know, really making the most of it. The guy we're moving around a lot, so, yeah, he's gotten good work. The important stuff's out here, and it takes place in this building, in the meeting rooms, and, you know, we have great turnout, and I think all the guys are here. Everybody's, you know, working hard, committed, you know, putting in the time. So that's the most important part, I think. You know, just that, spending the time around each other, putting the work in with each other, that's going to pay dividends down the line.
What have you seen in some of the guys, Bo and Baldwin? What have you seen of those guys so far?
I mean, doing a great job. You know, I think everybody across the board is putting a lot of work, but those two guys especially, you know, working with the first unit, getting a lot thrown at us, and those guys making a lot of adjustments. You know, two big targets, you know, really big targets. And, you know, obviously, Dwayne, really special player. And, you know, you can see it out here making plays. Anything near him seems to come down with. So, you know, it's what you like as a quarterback. But both those guys have been doing a great job.
Yeah, a couple of dynamics here. Better level of coaching at the receiver level and tight ends, and then the fact that Alex is so engaged. We saw the B-roll there of him talking to Brandon Albert. Love Brandon Albert being here in the OTAs. Thank you, Brandon. Mm-hmm. And then also talking to Rodney Hudson. But, I mean, this guy's Alex Smith is dialed in. This is football 24/7, man.
Well, there's no question about it. And you talked about it the other day when we were at the fundraising event that was so great with Derek Johnson. He's over there with Chase Daniels, and I could hear him. They're talking football even in the evening after things. They're talking about the OTAs, what went on, some reps that were taken, and how they did things. That's good. I like a guy. I mean, this is a guy who's genuinely excited to be here, and you've got to love this. And he's got some talent. I mean, let's remember, he was an overall first-round pick, number 1-1. That's huge. I think the sky's limit in terms of what he can do. I think you're going to see so much leeway given to him because he makes good decisions.
And he's Serbian, so he's got that Serbian toughness going all the way back to the generation, so it's good to have him here. The fans are interested in watching, and so are we, with intrigue here as the spring now evolves into summer, and summer will evolve into training camp. As we switch to defense here and talk about Bob Sutton's defense, because everybody's kind of trying to look at roles or what is this defense and what are they going to do? And I think sometimes in the NFL, there is a fault that's made is we try to pigeonhole things. We like, this is a 3-4 defense. Or to me, Bob Sutton is doing a little bit of everything. I think the fault that I could make is somehow pigeonhole his defense. I want to see it at training camp when the pads get on. But I would say he's doing a variety of things, trying to play to his personnel. What do you think of Bob Sutton's defense so far?
You know what? I like the fact that you're moving people around. And the thing that I love about defenses is when they can create indecision in the offense, when they don't know how to react with things. And I think that's what you're seeing with this defense. And, again, we won't know it all until we see it at training camp and into the regular season. But when you can move people around and try to create some indecision, I think with the 3-4 in general, you can get – you know, 4 or 5 sacks a year just from you know, missed assignments and things of that nature. But I like the fact that, you know, Tyson Jackson may be on one side, now he's on the other. But he talked about the different schemes, and you'll hear him in this next clip in terms of they do a lot of different things. It's not just a regular 3-4.
Yeah, that's what's exciting to me because people want to pigeonhole it. Is it cayenne pepper? Is it what seasoning is it? You know what? It's the whole kitchen sink.
It just tastes good.
Here's Bob Sutton.
It's based out of 3-4. You know, that's the personnel that we select of. You know, we're more multiple than I think just 3-4 without much imagination. So we try to do a lot of different things that encompass really the same kind of techniques and adjustments, particularly for the upfront guys. And then, you know, it goes on, you know, as we get into the sub and the third down, you know, we have some more multiple things, you know, pressures, et cetera, that we try to do. So I would guess you'd say it's multiple in nature, you know, but based out of 3-4 personnel.
Here's what's exciting to me. It just looks like this is a defense that wants to be built on, and we said this all spring because the Chiefs didn't take it away last mm-hmm. year, built on takeaways. We talk about special teams flipping the field, being explosive, scoring on defense. What about the feeling, mentality, theory of this guy, because it appears that Bob Sutton wants to have a defense that way that's reminiscent of the 90s Chiefs defenses.
Well, I think you're point on with that analysis. I think it's an attacking style. I don't think it's a read and react. And I think with an attacking style of defense, you have a chance to create some turnovers, to do some different things, get into the backfield, create some havoc, just make the other team have to make quick decisions and see whether they can hold up and make those quick decisions. And if they can't, you keep doing those things. If they can, now you get into something different. I mean, it's 3-4 concept, but a lot of different things. And let's be honest, how many times a game are teams in three wide? So you're going to be in a nickel situation or a dime situation almost half, three-quarters of the game sometimes. And with that case, I mean, if you're playing the Donkeys or somebody like that, they always have three wides in. So you've really got kind of a 4-2 defense going on there. So you've got to figure out who your inside rushers are, who your outside rushers are going to be, how you're going to do some of those different things. But again, to sum it up, everybody you talk to on the team, they keep the one word that keeps coming up is attacking. Mm-hmm. And I like that as a fan. Attacking defense. Go after them.
defense is somewhat about scheme. We all know that. But it's also about developing an attitude. The Ravens are the best example of that for a long period of time. They play with this Ravens kind of attitude. What does Bob Sutton think the mentality of the Chiefs defense is and wants to be?
This is important that you come in that room. When we come in there, you're excited to be there in that room. We want the room to be enjoyable. We don't want it to be drudgery coming in that room. It's hard work. You got to be ready to occasionally get your tail chewed out, but it's one group of guys that understands what they're doing, and I think that's the bottom line of this thing. So to me, it's the way you approach your job.
Well, it's interesting to see what's going to happen on that side of the football. Now, we get asked all the time, too, about the upfront guys. And we alluded to this last week a little bit because in the past, the 3-4 in the base, the two-gap scheme of the 3 and the 5 technique and the 0 tech, holding it up while the linebacker's making plays, it appears there'll be some of that, but not all of that. What about the defensive front?
Well, you know what, I think the fact of when you've got somebody like a Dontari Poe who's 6'3", 350 pounds, who moves so fluidly, I can't believe it sometimes. Tyson Jackson, great athlete. He's gotten better each and every year. And not defending, not getting on him, not doing anything but saying sometimes when you're a high pick, you have a lot of expectations placed on you, and sometimes it takes a little while. I've been around a lot of defensive linemen in my career that it took a little while to really click in, but once it did, things really, the cream really started to rise. And I think you're seeing a Tyson Jackson who's really pretty comfortable with what's going on. And again, like I talked about earlier, the fact that you could see him on one side or the other, would love it if he can be one of those guys who can be an inside rusher on the 4-2 on the nickel if it makes sense, because I think in his size, he can get up, he can knock some balls down, things like that. If you make that window smaller for the QB, that makes a huge difference as well.
Well, Bob Sutton likes what he sees from Tyson Jackson and thinks he can be a big factor for this team in 2013.
I think Tyson's had a great camp. We think Tyson's a really, really good football player, you know. And, I know a lot of times when you're picked that high or you're a D-lineman, you're judged on sacks. And there's a lot more to football than sacks. And, a lot of it is simply affecting the quarterback opposed to just sacking the quarterback. But there's other things that have to happen first, and a lot of the dirty work has to happen on those first and second downs in there to get you to that position where you can go after the quarterback. But overall, I think he's done a great job. I think he's if he stays on course with what he's doing, he's got a chance to have a really good football season.
I'm excited what Bob Sutton can do with this defense with a very experienced group of coaches. You can go right down the line. Now, next week, the throttle gets opened up just a little bit more because it's really your last shot before training camp, mandatory mini camp. What do you want to see next week? What's that like when you played 15 years and going from OTAs now to mandatory mini camp? What's the deal?
Well, you want to make sure that you've got everything installed, and I think they do have everything installed. You've been through all your OTAs. You've had the rookies come in for their mini camp. You just want to kind of clean it up a little bit. It does. The throttle does rev up a little bit more, but again, with the new rules on the CBA, you can't go too wild, but the fact is it just happens. I mean, so you could say all you want about toning things down, but at the end of the day, NFL players – football players are competitors. When they get out there, you can't help but go a little bit. So you've got to tone it down to a degree, make sure everybody's healthy. But this is your last time really together as a unit. You want to send them off with a message before they come back for camp. But it's huge. You just want to see the little things and make sure they're ready to go. So this time that they spend by themselves before they come back to St. Joe, that they're ready to go. They've got everything in, and it is business as usual, and you go after it.
All right, he's Kendall Gammon, the snapper. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs with you. Mandatory minicamp next week, and we'll keep you up to speed with that as the Chiefs continue to move on forward to the 2013 to be one of the most improved teams in this league. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Live.